Good morning, Boketti Bible Fellowship. It's Bob and Brian here again on Wednesday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. So we're going to have
Fool's Day.
Yeah, we're going to have an April Fool's podcast here, Brian. And I guess we have to tell them in advance that we're not joking. But
we aren't joking. Yeah, you're right.
So let's start by opening with a prayer. We're happy to be back with you again. We're going to be updating everyone about what's happening and going into some Bible verses today. So that's exciting. We're very happy to do that. Somebody gave us a question, and so we're going to review that. But before we do, let's start by opening with a prayer.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together and the ability to meet like this. We are using Zoom again, and this is a website and a facility that you've made available to us, and we're so happy and appreciative for it. We hope that it provides far better audio content than we had the week before, and you are helping us through an evolving situation, Father, through a crisis that we're experiencing. We lean on you for everything, Lord. We hope and pray that you will continue to guide us. We know you will. We have confidence in you by the faith that you have given us, and we ask you to just be with us and our family and make this podcast just an encouraging one and an enjoyable one for everyone. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, brother. Appreciate that.
Well Brian, let's update us on our current situation with the church.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's good. And I do want to update everybody. So, it's really been an evolving situation. We've had, I guess, 3 weeks ago, or a little over, 3.5 weeks now. 3 weeks ago, I went to the church with James, and I preached in there, and we just recorded the audio. And that was our first week that we didn't meet. And then the week after that, we had Tammy and Tyler worked throughout the week and did a great job. They got us set up for live streaming. And so, a week and a half ago, I guess, we did live streaming for the first time. And it was real choppy and freezy, if you remember. In fact, you were at the church that Sunday. It starts out, if you go to the live stream archive, you go and you hear you talking. You were doing the announcements. And it was real choppy and freezy. And, of course, that's to be kind of expected. You know, so many people around the world, at least in our part of the world, are trying to stream services and using the church stream TV method that we're using. And so there's just a big demand out there right now, especially at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. And so it was choppy. It was freezy. The audio, I think, cut out at one point for several minutes, despite, even with the video having been cut out most of the time off and on. And so basically the live stream takes a video recording of the live stream. And so that's what's uploaded. And we do have an archive. And I think lots of people are confused about this, and I guess I haven't done a good job of explaining this, but on the website, if you go to the media tab and then it drops down and you have the option for live and then for sermons and podcast, on the live tab, you can click on that. And then right at the top, it shows the live stream, which right now, if you go click on it, it shows a countdown to the live stream on Sunday because there's not anything going on right now. And it's got some weird elevator music playing in the background. And so you kind of got to pause that. But then if you scroll down on that page, it shows the archive of all the previous live streams. And so you can see the one from 2 weeks ago, and you can see the one from just this past Sunday, which was a video recording. And so anyway, as we progressed, as we talked about last week, we got under home quarantine, and so we couldn't go to the church and do the live stream. So this past week, Tammy and I did video recording in our respective homes, and Tammy pushed, smushed them all together, kind of spliced a little bit, did a little bit of editing, and we uploaded a video into the live stream. And so in a sense, tricked the live stream, but not really. I mean, the live stream is this video. And so it's not actually live. We weren't actually doing that on Sunday morning. We did that on Saturday afternoon. And so that's what we did, and that went a lot better. But part of the problem was me. My phone quality was way too good. And so it produced a really big file for the sermon and the time before and the time after. So it produced a really big file. And so the file size, in addition to the server overload on Sunday morning, still caused people's problems. And it wasn't freezy, but it would take a lot of time to buffer and it would pause and stuff like that. And so we've kind of found some ways to compress the file and take, you know, I'm going to do a lesser quality video, but it'll still be a good quality video. It just won't be as HD and the file size will be smaller and everything should, Lord willing, go more smoothly this week. So we're getting there. We're progressing every week. We're learning more. And we've decided this week, actually what happened on this past Sunday morning, we had it all tested on Saturday night, tested again Sunday morning. When we hit play on Sunday morning at 9:30, we had problems. and you know, of course the enemy's going to do all sorts of things to mess us up and trip us up. And that's not all that unexpected. But what we're going to do this week is once we get everything compiled and put together, we're actually going to do the stream sometime on Saturday night so that the archived stream will be available anytime Sunday. I mean, if somebody wakes up at 3 a.m. on Sunday and wants to watch the service, they'll be able to. If someone wants to start the service at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. or wants to wait till 2 p.m., all those will be available options. So the full service video will be available under live. You scroll down, there's all the archived streams, and it should just be a video there that you can play. And that's going to be our kind of our method going forward. We're going to try to have it done late Saturday night so it's available anytime on Sunday morning.
Well, it's an evolutionary process. We're learning as we go. We're, this week, as I said earlier, we're doing this podcast on Zoom, mm-hmm. which also has video capabilities, but I don't have a camera on my end of the site. But this, if I got one, or if anybody had one, and they could use Zoom here for not only for audio, but that it could be used to facilitate fellowship activities, Bible studies, anything. And so
right.
If you're listening to this podcast this week, I really would appreciate knowing how the sound quality at the very least is coming through. If you could drop us some emails, it'd be nice to know if it was, you think it was better than last week or what okay. your thoughts are on this. With Brian and I need to hear that feedback.
Yeah. And last week, Bob, we, you know, you and I put this, you know, we even explained on the kind of as at the beginning of our podcast, we explained we had just put this together. We had just heard about it. We'd both just signed up. It was really easy. We started, you know, we got going immediately. And rather than spend who knows how long, you know, researching and trying to figure out the best way to record audio, we just recorded it on our phone. And so I recorded it on my phone in my office. And so I sounded really good because I'm right here next to my phone. But you were recording the sound that came from you through the computer. And so, of course, that was going to be worse. And so the quality, you know, you had to turn it, you know, jack the volume up real high to hear you good. And then I was too loud. And so what we found out since then is that Zoom has the ability to record both video and audio really easily from the meeting. And so right now we're able to record both from Bob and my mic right now. And so it should be even audio. It should sound the same, me and Bob right now, not like last week. So Lord willing, that's done. And this will be how we're doing it for the foreseeable future. So please, as Bob said, give us feedback because this is our plan going forward unless we get really bad feedback.
We need to find ways to stay in touch because we don't know how long this situation is going to last. And you were mentioning earlier to me, Brian, about WhatsApp groups and how they could actually use WhatsApp as well.
Right. Yeah. And I think most people are familiar with WhatsApp groups. I think most people are probably in a WhatsApp group, but not everybody. And so I've encouraged a few people in the church to create groups. Specifically, I've encouraged small group leaders or people within small groups, even if they're not leaders, and other ministry leaders to put together groups and invite people to join them on WhatsApp. And it's just a thing where you can text back and forth. It's a group chat. And so everybody can see, you know, that's in the group can see what's being said. And specifically for the small groups, you know, I'd love to see the small groups get these things set up so that at a minimum they can be taught, you know, chatting with one another. They can, you know, ideally they would share, you know, prayer requests and things like that through there, because obviously we've not had Bible study meeting for small group. But one of the big deficits that's almost as significant as not having a Bible study is the lack of connection with prayer requests. I mean, that's one thing that really ministers to our people is when we get to come together and we get to fellowship, but we share what's going on and share prayer requests and pray for one another during the week. And so WhatsApp is one way that we can really do that. And it's just not hard to do that.
Right. Well, this is something we're encouraging everyone who's listening. We do need to stay in touch with each other. And I am looking at seeing if I can get maybe a camera and we can practice with Zoom, and maybe we can, in a week or two, we can start up and see a test of a Bible study class again, which I think would be interesting, because frankly, I'm getting a little bored and I'm getting real tired of doing all the honey-do list that my wife keeps giving me.
So, well, you know, I'm just going to start asking you to preach every other week, and then you won't be bored anymore.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. That's something I'm very excited about doing, you know.
That'd be fun.
One of the things we were asked by one or two people over the last week is, you know, what's the latest, what's going on with the coronavirus? What's the,
right.
We really do not want to be anybody's news source, but there are some very, very good news sites that are very comprehensive, and I'm going to suggest one to everyone, and it's basically Cherokee Life, and you can go on the web to www.cherokee.life, and they have a dedicated place in their website for the Panama and coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. And I look at this almost every day. They currently have 17 pages of this, with the newest pages, 16, 17 being the newest news, and it's very, very quick. I'm seeing things come out on this that are showing up on other people's flyers and news sites, you know, a half an hour later. And it also has a complete history of the coronavirus. You can start on page one and see when the government first started mentioning things and coming out. And you can go back to page five or six where the original decrees came in. And then you can go to the last page, page 17, which is today, and see all the latest news. It's very comprehensive. It's very detailed. And so I would suggest that if you want the latest news, the most up-to-date news, you would take a look at this www.cherokee.life website, and their specific area, which is the Panama coronavirus pandemic. It's a bar right in the middle of the first page, and you just click on that, and all of the different pages will come up, and you can go and research anything you want about the coronavirus. But we really, I really don't have time to be a news source, nor are we set up to be the news source. It's not that we don't want to try and help. We're just not set up for it.
Yeah. Well, and certainly if somebody has a question and they, you know, call us or email us, you know, of course, we're going to do the best of our ability to answer it. But, you know, the goal here is, well, for example, you and I had somebody email us this week, kind of, here's the latest. Here's the latest thing, and you know, encouraged us to get this news out to, or maybe not encouraged, but just assumed that we would, you know, take the lead on getting this news out to our church family. And I appreciate this person's heart. Obviously, they want the news to be out there, and they want to keep our family informed with the latest information. But that's just not what we're going to do. We're not going to constantly be scrolling on the websites and then sending out mass emails to the church, you know, church-wide family. Here's the latest on the coronavirus. You know, half of which are not in Panama, as far as, you know, the church family that receives our newsletter. So we don't want to take on that role. And we're not going to say, you know, I think Bob's sharing, here's Cherokee Life, this is a great option. There's probably other options out there as well. And so we're not saying this is the end all be all, this is the best site. Bob's saying this is one that he's used and he likes, but there's, you know, you get your news however you're going to get your news. And if you have, you know, questions specifically, you know, anything relating to the Bible or spiritual questions, you know, that's where we want to be. That's where we're going to be focusing our time. You know, this kind of, if we get, like we just talked about, WhatsApp groups and things like that, you know, set up for small groups, well, you know, I would definitely expect that that stuff is going to be shared in WhatsApp groups and things like that. But it's a little more difficult for me or for you to share that, because what we have to do is we have to send something out to 200 people. And I don't think that's what we're going to be about.
No, exactly. I also was and still use the MNSA website, which is the National Health Authority's website.
Right.
Cherokee Life makes it a little easier because they'll print both the English and Spanish together, so they do the translation for you. But there's a lot, Brian's right, there's a lot of websites out there, a lot of news sources, and whatever something appeals to you, definitely use it. We're not really set up to be doing that kind of regular scanning and notification. It's just not something we're set up to do.
Right.
Well, we had a person that wrote in this last week and asked us a Bible question, Brian.
Right. Yeah, that was it's the first person we've had. It's the only person, actually. So I just want to take 5 seconds here, 10, 20 seconds, and let me plug again. We really want you guys to engage with us, interact with us. If you've got a question about a concept or a topic or a verse, share that stuff with us. And like we said last week, Bob and I aren't claiming we have all the answers, but we'll do our best to try to answer the question. If we need to do some research, we will. We'll study deeper if we need to. But we'd love to be talking about these kinds of things. That's what we love to do.
So if you have your Bible open and you're listening to this, we are going to be looking at Hebrews 6 and a little bit at the end of Hebrews 5. So the person's question was, they asked for clarification for Hebrews 6, 1, 2, and 3, the first three verses of Hebrews 6.
Right.
And since I've been talking, I'm assuming you all had your Bibles and had a chance to go to it. I'm going to go ahead and read this.
And you can pause the podcast.
Exactly. So Hebrews 6, 1, 2, and 3 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Bob. So we got a question.
It starts out with a therefore, so you know what that means.
That means we got to figure out what it's there for. So it's good. Thank you for reading that. And the question that we got was very broad, and perhaps we could have followed up and got a more specific question, but I think the broad question does just fine. The broad question is, I'm confused by this passage. Tell me what it means. So it's not specific at all. It's very open-ended. It says, help me understand verses 1 through 3, and I really felt like we got let off the hook because I expected verses 4 and beyond. And so if anybody has a question about 4 and beyond, we'd be happy to share our thoughts on that sometime in the future as well.
Yeah, I was just as surprised as you are, Brian. I really thought when they mentioned Hebrews 6 that we were going to get hit with Hebrews 6, 4, 5, and further forward. But
yeah. To be sure, Bob, Hebrews 6, 4 is not something I'm saying I'm scared of. We need to stay away from this. I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of Hebrews 6. As a whole, and I think you do too, and so we'd be more than happy to share some of our perspective there, because that is one of the more difficult passages in all the Bible from my perspective.
Agreed.
So on this honing in on chapter 6 verses 1 through 3, to me it's basically impossible to do that, like you just said, with the therefore, without getting the context. And so it seems real clear from verse 6, 1 that he's urging them to progress, to move on, to go on to maturity, to progress in the sanctification process. And we've talked quite a bit about that in both our small groups and from the pulpit. But verses, chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 really give the context of what's going on here. If you just look at verse 6, 1 through 3, we're kind of missing the background. And so I'll read that, Bob, if you don't mind. I'll read verses 11 through 14, and then we can begin to talk about, break it down a little more. So this is Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. It says, about this we have much to say. And this, he's referring back, and y'all can go back and look at the context. It's the order of Melchizedek. And so he says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Bob, is there anything you want to say on that
we start out with Hebrews 6, 4. And he's encouraging people to leave elementary doctrines and go on to maturity, and he's explaining to them why. He appears to me to be, Brian, to be fairly disappointed with his flock.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and to me it seems there's you know, it's hard to escape the reality that there's a frustration in the author here. I mean, when we look at the beginning of chapter 5, and it goes all the way, you know, to verse 10, which we didn't read that section, but when he gets into the order of Melchizedek, and we do get into the order more in chapter 7 and 8, so I would encourage you all to go listen, you know, go read that. But the order, it's kind of complicated. You know, it's a deeper subject. It's not something that you're teaching to new converts. You know, we're just not going there. That's not something on the list. And he says about this, we have much to say. The author wants to go into detail about this rich, deep theology and doctrine. And he says, but I can't. You know, it's too hard to explain. I mean, you're a baby in the faith. You need milk. And so we can't do the solid food stuff here.
And it's very, very clear that his expectations at this point in time of the people he's talking to is that he thought they'd be teachers of the faith at this point.
Yeah, teachers of the word. And so it's clear that these are not new converts. He's not holding some incredibly high expectation that new converts overnight are going to become super mature and wise and on and on and on. These are people that have been in the faith, and it's like they're just, you know, I mean, and we see this is so relevant to the world we live in today. People who, you know, kind of checked a box and accepted Christ, and they're virtually no different. Maybe they've got a little more head knowledge, a little more academic information in their brains. But aside from that, there's virtually no application. They've not grown in their relationship with Christ. They've not grown in their pursuit of holiness, which is what this is all about. They're just existing and drinking milk, and that's it. And they're not progressing.
They get the exact same impression, Brian, that these people have become stunted.
Right.
And his expectations are, he seems to be surprised at the level they still remain at. And it's as if the application, or it's as if their walk has just become stunted and they have not proceeded to the level his expectations were.
Right. And if we, you know, and obviously we're not going there this afternoon, but when we look at the rest of the context of chapter 6 and even the whole rest of the context of the whole book of Hebrews, you know, there's certainly stuff in chapter 10 and chapter 13 that is relevant here. When we look at it, what he's communicating is that this kind of behavior, this kind of stunted growth, if you want to call it that, this more like a refusal to grow, this kind of complacency where they're just kind of lulled to sleep, it's dangerous.
They don't have the ability to discern. It says, I mean, it's so dangerous to be unskilled in the word of righteousness, because without that, you're open prey to the devil, the schemes of the devil. I mean, if you don't grow in your faith, if you don't have powers of discernment, if you are unskilled, then you cannot apply it properly in your life, and you become you become meat for lions, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's kind of the context. I mean, and that, to me, that's so important. There's no way to read chapter 6, or at least these first three verses of chapter 6, without reading those verses in chapter 5 to really set the stage for what he's saying, or else it would seem kind of random or out of place. And so then we really see his frustration, and we see he's explaining, you know, here's where you are and here's where you should be. And so then he gets to the exhortation in chapter 6, verse 1. He says, let's leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. And then he says, not doing a variety of these things. And so what do you have to say on that, Bob?
Well, he's definitely exhorting them. He's exhorting them to start applying what they know, to start putting into practice, to start using it in their lives. I mean, they need to be able to distinguish good from evil just as much as we need to be able to distinguish good from evil today. We talk quite often about all of the false teaching and false teachers that are surrounding us today that have infiltrated the internet and are in the YouTube videos, and they had the exact same problem in the first century. It may not have been as easily distributed, but they had the exact same problem with people coming in and deceiving people away from the truth of God's word.
Right. Absolutely. And so it's real important that we get this. And, you know, if you were to say kind of bottom line, what's this passage about? Somebody who's confused, it's about maturity. It's about progressing in our sanctification. It's about growing in our walk with the Lord and not being stagnant, not being complacent. And that's not saying we were scared or we work to earn sanctification. No, verse 3 makes it real clear that our sanctification comes only if God permits. He says this will do if God permits. But that's, you know, kind of in a nutshell, that's what this passage is about. But it's, you know, beyond that, breaking it down, what would you say, do you have anything you want to share? Do you want me to just keep sharing on kind of the second half of verse 1 and then verse 2? The author here lists, I think it's 6 different things. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance, not laying again the foundation, and he lists these 6 things: the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instructions about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection from the dead and the eternal judgment. So all these things, what's that really look like? Not laying again the foundation for these things. There's so many questions we could have here. So just share some of your perspective on what it means there to not lay that foundation again. What's the author's
element? I think he's explaining to us the difference between maturity, spiritual maturity, and spiritual immaturity. Sure. And it's very, very clear that, you know, we run into this on a regular basis. I think of the people who come to me at times and explain to me that they, how spiritually mature they are, because they know the Bible, they know the Word. Sure. And I know this and I know that, and it's all about head knowledge. And I have to explain to them that spiritual maturity, the kind of spiritual maturity we're talking about here, is not simply head knowledge.
Right.
It's your walk with Christ. How you apply that head knowledge, are you able to apply that head knowledge? Are you able to use it in your walk with Christ, in your interactions with people? Or are you simply a person with head knowledge?
Right.
There's a big difference in the spiritual maturity that this author is talking about is very much a spiritual maturity that Paul and Peter write about and our Lord tells us about. And it's, does our life exemplify our Christ-like walk?
Right.
And I think, or is it a matter of dead works?
Right.
Dead works. Is it all about, like Matthew, it says in Matthew 7, when Jesus talks to people about their mighty works and their prophesying and all these other things that they are doing.
Right.
And he's saying, it's not about the doing. I never knew you because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not walking with me.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible to have, you know, and this isn't what this passage is all about, but certainly we can pull from it. You know, it's possible to have all sorts of head knowledge and have all sorts of information and yet not possess any maturity and not really know God. And so this isn't an exhortation to be smarter and know more things. It's a exhortation to know Christ deeper and to progress in our relationship and our walk with him, which will produce and manifest itself in fruit and a variety of other works and good things that God enables as a result that we can see that are visible, that's outward, it's overt. And so that's the exhortation here. So I just don't want anyone to hear that the exhortation is to, you know, kind of study more, memorize more, you know, do these things, check these boxes. That's not what it's saying.
Exactly.
And to me too, laying a foundation, and I think this is so important, laying a foundation for understanding Christ, laying that, which is what kind of the second half of verse 1 and verse 2 is. Let me add here as well. All of this stuff is all Jewish practices and Jewish beliefs. And so what's happening is we've got these Gentiles that are coming to know Christ that are being converted now. And what's happening is their teachers and or them themselves, they're going back and they're laying this foundation where they have to really understand all this Old Testament stuff. And I'm not somebody that's disparaging the Old Testament at all. It has lots of value to the Old Testament, but they're going back and they're spending lots of time in the Torah, not lots of time grasping the gospel of Christ and how to use and apply the gospel to mature and progress in holiness and to live out their lives in the way that Christ so desires that we do. And so that's part of this is such part of the elementary stuff that they're talking about, and the foundation stuff that they're talking about is stuff that's, it's nice to know, it's helpful to have the full context of the Old Testament stuff, but they're spending so much time on that and virtually no time on this other stuff that we talked about.
Yes, exactly. The original apostles faced this, it seems like almost on a regular basis. with people coming in and twisting things, or else Judaizers demanding that they follow cleanliness laws or circumcision or things like this. Or you can go right to the book of Galatians, which starts out with just astonishment that they're deserting the truth of the word that they've been taught and going back to things that these dead works, as they refer to here in Hebrews 6.
Right. And to make, you know, to be crystal clear, you know, Bob and I in no way are saying that the Old Testament is not valuable, or that we shouldn't spend our time reading it. I absolutely think we should. I mean, without it, we get half the picture. The New Testament totally fulfills the Old Testament. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So I'm grieved with some churches. There's churches out there now that only focus on the New Testament. For example, the Church of Christ, you know, that hone in only on the New Testament, totally disregard, throw out the Old Testament. I mean, that grieves me. And so that's not what we're saying here. But one of the points I was trying to make earlier and got distracted was that laying the foundation for understanding Christ, and insert in foundation there, lots of this Old Testament stuff, laying the foundation for understanding the message of Christ is different from teaching about how to live in Christ on the basis of that foundation. And so, as an example, I feel like we preach and teach, you know, from the pulpit and from our small groups and on and on and on. It's almost everything we do and teach is on the basis of that foundation. It's because of this foundation, this, here's how we can live, and here's what we're to do, and here's what we're called to, and here's how we're doing, and on and on and on. It's there's so much. I mean, they're so focused. We're focused on the basis of the foundation, but it's not always the foundation. It's how to use that foundation, how to utilize the foundation to then spring forth and bear fruit and pursue holiness and become more mature and grow in our walk and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
I couldn't have said it better. In this passage, this three verses that we have been discussing sort of ends this thought with verse 3, and this we will do if God permits.
Right. All this stuff we've talked about.
You've been teaching a lot about that in your sermons over the last month or two.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the sovereignty of God has been a big, it's a foundational thing. And so we, obviously, it's so important. And we see it here in an uncomfortable light, if you will. I mean, it just... you know, we see the sovereignty of God, and we see the responsibility of man or the free will of man. We see those coincide and work together. It's not one or the other; it's both. And God tells us exactly what that looks like. But for the human mind, I mean, we have a very finite mind, finite ability to understand things. It just, you know, verses like that just don't work. You know, we just don't like that. You know, he tells us, he gives us a command, he tells us to do it, and then he says, you'll do it if I allow you to do it, if I enable you to do it, if I permit you to do it. It's like, that just kind of rubs us the wrong way. I mean, what do you think, Bob?
No, I absolutely agree. We don't, in our daily walk, we forget about the preeminence of our Lord, about preeminence of God in everything, that everything conforms to his will. When I was looking at this passage, those verses in James chapter 4 came to mind.
Right.
And I'm going to just read that now. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. As right. It is, you boast in your arrogance." And it's a passage that kind of really strikes home and reminds me that we live at the will of our God. He is preeminent, not just in the world and in his plan for the world, but he's preeminent in providence in our lives.
Right.
In every step that we take.
Absolutely. And so, you know, part of the application, there's all kinds of application here, but part of this is, you know, he governs. I mean, he rules over, as you said, he is preeminent in our sanctification process, in our progressing to maturity and our continuing or pressing on, as it were, in chapter six here. He rules over that. And then, to add on to the uncomfortability there, I'll just say it. God permitting us to press on or to advance or to become more mature in the faith, or to even receive him in the first place, you know, God permitting all those things, him granting repentance and so forth. It's all grace. We talk about it every week. We basically present the gospel every single Sunday morning in the prayer cleansing time. And every one of us is deserving of nothing except eternal damnation in hell, an eternity separated from God. That's what we're deserving of. Nobody has earned anything else. And so God then showing grace toward you or toward me or to anybody that's listening, it's grace. It is just, it's undeserved grace. And him not permitting someone to receive him and not permitting someone to progress in their walk with him or their maturity level, it's not unjust to not allow that, or to even not allow someone to receive him in the first place is not unjust. That is just to send someone to hell. That's not unjust. It's pure mercy and grace that he chooses anybody, that he opens the eyes of anybody, that he, in this passage, enables anyone to progress and to press on and advance to maturity.
Christians all over this world will tell themselves and tell others that I am saved by the grace of God, but they don't really understand what that means. Right. The grace of God is the divine providence of God in his plan of creation, in his building of a holy family. They say that we are saved by the grace of God, but when they really get down to it, they really don't understand the details of what that means. I think you just explained that perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a difficult truth, and part of it is, when we get into the sovereignty of God and really break it down, I mean, it's tough, it's difficult, it's life changing. I mean, it's paradigm shifting and exploding in a sense. I mean, when we really grasp what that means to be saved by grace, because I think we can all kind of sort of say that and then have different, well, what do you think that means? And what do you think that means? And what do you think that means? And they all be kind of different.
Exactly.
And so I think when we really grasp God's providence and his sovereignty in both his choosing of us, but also in our, whether or not we can repent and whether or not we can attain and progress toward maturity, and whether or not I die from a heart attack this very second on the podcast. And, you know, there's so much grace of what grace is that I think we totally miss that. And grace and the sovereignty of God go, I mean, they're hand in hand. They go perfectly together.
Well, let's, I'm going to hope and pray that you don't die right here on the podcast. Otherwise,
I'm with you.
That'd be a very, very interesting April Fool's situation when you got to the early gate. April Fool's. No, you're actually here. So let's pray that doesn't happen. But not knowing, Brian, exactly what the person who wrote in was interested in or what they needed more information on, I think we've kind of covered a lot of this. Is there anything more you want to go into with this?
I think we've covered it fairly well. And Bob and I were talking just before we started this podcast and said, you know, I think we could easily spend 2 hours on this, 2 hours, not including the update on the church and, you know, anything else, just 2 hours on this passage if we were to, you know, kind of break down every word and every phrase. And so to anybody listening, if there's still outstanding questions, if to the person who sent in the question, if this didn't answer it, certainly follow up with us and we'll do our best to answer that. Or address anything more specifically that we need to. But I think we've hit a pretty good, more than a bird, I would say bird's eye view, but I think we've done more than that. I think we've hit a pretty good general overview here.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Okay, well, listen, we want more of these kinds of questions. Please don't leave us hanging. Send those to Brian and I so we can get involved with it. I think Next week, I think we discussed, we're going to try and spend some time just on some passages for the Holy Week.
Yeah, something to do with that context. And we're trusting God's going to give us some ideas, or maybe somebody will write in a question that has something to do with that. But yeah, I'd like next week, you know, this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. And it's going to feel so weird doing Palm Sunday, you know, from home, and also doing, you know, Easter or Resurrection Sunday, you know, from home the following week. I mean, these are two incredible Sundays. It's so powerful to not just the message or the worship, but just being together and fellowshipping in that way. So that kind of circles back to all the stuff we talked about at the beginning. Let's get in contact with one another. This is a season where we need to be rejoicing, fellowshipping, worshiping God together in a sense. And we can definitely do that. I mean, God has given us so many resources and shown us so much grace in the ways that we can connect. So that's kind of our plan.
We also want to put out the word for the intercessory prayer team. They are still up and going. They still want to hear people's needs. And unfortunately, Brian, it seems to have come to a stop.
Yeah, I haven't touched base with Danielle in the last couple of days, but the last time I talked to her, the team just really wasn't getting much of anything. And now's the time I feel like we need to be more connected and praying for each other than ever. And it's also a time where the members who are on the team, I mean, these are people who are not casual prayers in a sense. These are people that are really committed to actually interceding and really praying for the requests that come through. And so it's a big deal, and it's a big commitment for this team. And they have more time than ever now. And so I just want to encourage everybody to, let's not kind of fall into the trap of, well, I don't really want to bother them. I don't want to have to get the whole team involved. That's what they exist for. They want to be bothered. So they want to be, and it's not a bother to them. I mean, it brings them joy. It brings them great joy to be able to intercede and pray for their brothers and sisters. So I just want to encourage you all to reach out to Danielle. There's a link on the website where you can do that. If you don't have her information, most of you probably do have her information or her WhatsApp, and you can reach out to her in any of those ways so that she can, get the team praying. I mean, we got a team sitting on standby, ready to intercede and pray fervently. We just don't have lots of prayer requests coming through.
The only other thing that I can think of, Ryan, unless you have something else, is that if somebody runs into a situation with this virus, or if they run into a sickness, please let us know. If there's a need out there, if something occurs within the family, we need to hear about this. If you hear about somebody else struggling, we really need to hear about this. So let's make sure that we're communicating. And if we hear about something occurring with a need or with a virus or with a sickness or anything like that within our church family.
Yeah. And I'm grateful to see, you know, I've been in contact with several, just as you have. And I've been encouraged by, I've seen so many that are, you know, many of our church members are actively being the church. They are serving, they are running errands for their neighbors or for other family members. And so that's, you know, I'm saying, let's do that, which is exactly what you're saying. Let's stay connected. Let's help one another. Let's serve one another. Let's serve our community. Not just show the love of Christ, but let's endeavor to serve Christ as we do all these things and do it unto the Lord, and see what results from it. Other than, obviously, God's going to be glorified when we do that. But I think we have a unique situation right now to serve. I don't know if that's the word I want to use, but I'll say serve. To serve our community or just our neighbors, you know, even if it's one person, in a way that reflects whose you are, and then provides the opportunity to open into a dialogue, into a conversation about the gospel and about who Jesus is and so on. And so I think we have a unique evangelistic opportunity, if you will, to share, and in a unique way where people are more open to hearing things. People are more receptive because of the state of the world and everything that's going on.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I don't have anything else. And if you don't, would you be kind enough to close us in a prayer?
Well, I went back and looked at my notes, Bob, and I have one more thing that I did want to share. And this is not just me. It's both of us here. I just want to share, I don't know that I've ever shared this really with our church family. I don't know when I would have outside of small group or something like that. But I really believe that my calling as a pastor, and I've talked with you about this a great deal, and you and I both share a very similar, slightly different, but very similar calling. Our calling is not primarily, certainly secondarily, but it's not primarily evangelistic. Our calling is not primarily preaching on the streets. It's not primarily invitations and evangelistic sermons and evangelistic small group studies and so forth. That's not the primary purpose and the primary calling that God has for us and therefore for leadership of BBF at this time. The primary calling that God has for us finds its foundation in this passage that we just covered. And so there's, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, you know, I don't need you, or, and all that. And so we all play a different role within the body of Christ. And so there's people that are called to overtly evangelize, and that's kind of going to be their focus. And their focus will not be this other thing necessarily, but, and while we do value and engage in evangelism from time to time, you and I, Bob, our primary focus is this exhortation, and it's a discipling, a teaching, a training, a raising up to maturity, if you will. And so I think you see that theme throughout my short pastorate so far. It's preaching and teaching in a way to bring the saints, to minister to the saints, and to bring them to maturity, to develop them, to grow them, to water them and stir them on in their pursuit of holiness, in their pursuit of God, in their understanding of who God is, and on and on. And so it's primarily our call is to focus to Christians. And there's so many, and it's not, well, you know, it's kind of a waste because we've got a lot of Christians here that don't need it. That's just not the case. I mean, we have very few Christians who would fit that mark. We have lots of Christians who have been Christians their whole lives but are all over the place, varying degrees of maturity, and need this kind of focus. And so I do think that's what God has called me to specifically, but I know you've shared, you feel the same calling on your life. That's to Absolutely. Be our focus, at least for now. And obviously we're open to God changing that, but that's our focus for now.
Absolutely. And to offer a place of worship that's grounded in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, brother, that's all I got. Anything else Good. For you?
No, I don't think so. Would you be kind enough all to right. close us?
Yeah, well, if that's it, I'll close us in a word of prayer and we'll call it a day. Well, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you give us your word. We are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for calling us and choosing us and opening our eyes and giving us a new heart. I thank you that you enable us to progress to maturity. It's not that we've got to work really hard to get there. You literally partner with us in the sanctification process as a whole. It's not you doing all the work and we kind of sit back and watch you do it. It's not us doing all the work while you're sitting on the sidelines. It's a beautiful partnership. And that's what this passage is about. And so I just praise you. I worship you. I thank you for that. I pray that you'd kind of bring to mind anyone who's listening to all that we've talked about this morning or this afternoon. And it's been extensive. I mean, we've gone a little bit longer this morning. We've covered more than just these three verses, and obviously we've kind of touched on a variety of topics or entire doctrines even. And so if there's any questions within anybody, I pray that they would contact Bob and myself so that we could begin to address these things. For sure, I suspect there's questions out there and even questions that have nothing to do with this, just biblical questions in general. I pray that you would kind of prompt our family members, Lord. I pray you'd bring to mind any questions they would have and kind of push them to get on the phone or sit down at their computer and share that with us, rather than just assuming that, well, somebody else will send one in. And so we'll just, you know, we'll let that be the case. I pray you'd get them involved. And Bob and I want to be involved. We want to be engaging and interacting with our family. And this is just such a fun way to do it. So I thank you for the way you've set this up. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for Bob's willingness to partner with me. I thank you for the way that you keep leading us so well with the service, with the live stream, with the small group stuff that we're trying to progress toward, with the fellowship, and on and on and on. You're so good. We love you so much, and we commit all these things to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.